Chapter 10. One more thing, sterilisation and patient protection. Most clinicians and teams tell me that patients don't understand and appreciate the considerable care, attention and expenditure that has gone into keeping them safe in the practice. They tell me patients can't tell if instruments are sterile or not and that patients don't often ask about sterilisation. Yet in my questionnaires, sterilisation and patient protection has been consistently very important to patients since the early 1990s. This aspect of the practice shot up to the top of the patient's list of ratings and importance just after the first Panorama programme about David Acer, the Florida dentist who was accused of passing on HIV infection to six patients. He was never convicted, though. Since then, every time a local or national story has broken about sterilisation failures, this becomes a patient's number one priority for a while, and then it drops back to third or fourth place on the listing. Of course, patients care deeply about their practice's attention to sterilisation and safety. They know absolutely that if they were to be taken into their local hospital this weekend, they might end up with MRSA or C. diff. If they had a meal out, the danger is salmonella, and sitting in a grubby jacuzzi, Legionnaires. They also know absolutely and without knowledge of the real risks and incidences that there is a potential risk of getting HIV from their dentist. So they're watching you. They're watching how everyone handles instruments and disinfects surfaces. They believe that when instruments are dropped on the floor, they're picked up, wiped and put back in drawers. After all, we've all believed in the 5-second rule at home once or twice when it doesn't count if a dropped biscuit is picked up within 5 seconds. They believe that the mouthwash filled up to within 2 inches of the top of the beaker was used by the previous patient, and they surreptitiously check it for lipstick marks before gulping when requested. They believe that grubby marks or dust on the skirting boards in the loo are a symptom of a practice that doesn't care enough about cleanliness or sterilisation. They're also checking what the team members touch, especially when they're wearing gloves, which highlight the potential of danger. Observing a dentist picking up a pen or pushing a switch with a gloved finger merely illustrates how he or she might be protecting themselves from any germs on the switch rather than protecting the patient who's next touched with the side of the glove that touched the switch. Patients make assumptions about sterilisation behaviour, and particularly as sterilisation has become increasingly moved to discrete areas out of the patient's sight, it becomes ever more important to prove the practice's attention to this area of the practice. But unlike providing proof for CQC, RQIA, HIS or HIW, this does not involve arduous paper trails and bulging files. Instead, a little attention to behaviour and the theatre of practice is required. This can be a great and fun topic for a practice meeting. In how many ways can the team demonstrate to patients their attention to sterilisation? The record so far is 33 new ways. But I would settle for 5 or 6 key action points that can be agreed and implemented amongst the team to help patients understand your attention to sterilisation measures. Here's a few. Invest in great signage for your decontamination room. Glass walls with sterilisation area etched on them really do impress, but simple signs do the job too. If your decon room is tucked away out of sight, invest in to the sterilisation area signs. Your team may know where it is, but patients need confidence that you have one. Make sure your team members talk about taking trays or boxes to the sterilisation room. No more silently slipping in and out of the surgery. Well, within reason. Make what you do between every patient obvious. Talk about sterilising or sterilised instruments in the surgeries. I'll take these to the steriliser, or can I have a sterile pointy thing? Highlight that your actions are routine. Make sure your mouthwash is only set out for patients when needed, or at least after the end of the surgery. It may seem efficient to have it ready, but it does look like the last patient used the last beaker. And rows of beakers lined up at the ready are definitely banned. Role play conversations for when instruments are dropped. It may seem wasteful to say, I'll put that through the steriliser, but the patient might believe it'll be picked up and used on them if you don't make your intentions obvious. Enforce strict glove behaviour protocols. No touching anything non-sterile with gloved hands. Please take down your dirty signs and labels on boxes. Surely the word should be sterilised and not sterilised. There is nothing dirty in your surgery, surely. Insist on absolute cleanliness. In general, 2 hours every day for general cleaning keeps a 2-surgery practice spotless. Keep surgery surfaces clutter-free. A tidy surface is more likely to have been re-sterilised in the patient's eyes. Mention that you're disinfecting your hands or your gloves when you're doing this. It helps patients to notice your routines. Finally, Consider giving your cross-infection routines a name of their very own. Re-sterilising or decontamination is not something that's tagged onto the end of every appointment, but an activity in its own right. Do this, and your receptionist can say, Mrs. Dentist will be with you shortly, Mrs. Patients. Just give her and Lorna a few minutes for re-sterilising and they'll be right with you. Action point from this chapter. Engage the team in coming up with 5 or 6 key ways to make sterilisation routines obvious to patients.